every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Fun living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, fourth Saturday of the month. It is time for our Urban Farmtastic broadcast. We've got Urban Farm Greg Peterson joining us. And how you feeling?
Oh, you know, yeah. I'm feeling great. Thanksgiving was quiet around here at the Urban Farm, and we did some work in the yard and just hung out with the chickens.
The first broadcast after Thanksgiving is always one of those where it's, you know, everyone still might be a little bit on the tryptophan and it's a little bit slower. Might have a few out-of-town listeners that staying at family's house listening to the broadcast for the first time. And what are we going to educate our listeners to this morning?
Oh, my gosh. So let's talk today about backyard creating a backyard food forest. What did that mean? What might it look like? How might you think about going about it? Because I'm a big, big fan of it. Don't ever plant anything you can't eat, man.
And right now,
it doesn't make sense to me.
There's a lot of people thinking, why are you even talking about food? Well, if you grow your own food and it comes out of your backyard, a lot of times you don't feel like that after eating.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
So tell me about food forests. Don't eat. Don't plant anything you wouldn't grow or eat.
Or eat. Well, and, you know, I expand past that a little bit. And the expansion past that is planting flowers for pollinators and things and green ground covers that maybe fix nitrogen that can be tilled in later. So there's other things that we do. But basically what we're doing when we're designing a backyard food forest is we look to nature to see how nature would do something like this and mimic that. So just like it happens in a forest, you know, the leaves drop in the fall and birds come along and poop and, you know, you get animals doing what they're doing and trees fall over. And before long, you know, whether that before long is months or years or decades, what's happening underneath is you get this really healthy soil that's building up. And the basis for any good garden and any good food forest is the soil underneath it. So we're going to talk about that in a couple of segments. So there's two pieces. Make sure you build healthy soil and let nature do it. And, you know, really pay attention to what you're planting so that you're only planting things that nurture the landscape. So edibles and flowers and those kinds of things.
Now let's take, for example, an existing yard, because that's what most of our homeowners have. They're already in a home and they're listening. And, you know, there's a lot of building going on, but that's still a small percent of the population out there. I've already got a yard. Just to give everybody a perspective, because when, as you hear Greg throughout this broadcast and we're talking about his farm and what's there, you think, man, this guy must live on, you know, on a square of land or something. But you're on a third of an acre?
Yep. I have just a little over 12,000 square feet. To give you a perspective on that, that's 80 feet wide and 160 feet deep. I've lived here for 31 years. I started looking at and studying permaculture 29 years ago, and I like to call permaculture the art and science of working with nature. So in permaculture, what we do is we take a look at how nature works, and then we mimic it in our space because nature knows how to do it better than we do.
And that's actually your first talking point, is just observing. Don't get in a rush, which is hard, because when we do something, we want to, you know, reap the benefits right away. Well, this is something that takes time to develop. So we're going to start by observing.
Usually what I tell people to do is spend a year, four seasons, observing your space. When the rain comes, where it comes on your property, where's the sun at, you know, all of the things that happen throughout the year, pay attention to them. Now, I'm not saying don't do anything. What I'm saying is just start paying attention to your space. And that'll give you a clue on where to plant your water at that's coming off of your roof, where to build a garden at, simply by observing. And that observation, there's one key piece that we want to do in that, is look to see how nature and the things that are of nature in your yard are interacting with your house. And here's a perfect example. About 15 years ago, the people sold their house across the street and new neighbors moved in. And, you know, you get a new house, you want to come in and clean up and do the work. And the house across the street from me faces west. So that means the front of the house gets this brutal western afternoon sun in the summertime. And within 10 days, the new owners were out there with chainsaws. Well, the new owners weren't. They hired some people with chainsaws to take out these beautiful 80-year-old grapefruit trees that were, you know, 30 feet tall that were shading the front of their house. What they didn't get was that, and we call this a class one error in permaculture, what they didn't get was that by taking those trees out, they just took away all their shade. And that deeply impacted their electric bill. So really, when I say observe for a year, what I'm wanting you to do is to make sure that you're not making any class one errors. Like I said, that's what we call them in permaculture, major errors like that. You know, if you want to put in a garden the first year, get your garden in. But make sure that you know how nature is interacting with your house before you make any major changes.
And if you are planting on a garden and you're going to do spring and fall gardening in the same location, it's important to know the sun location will be different. So pay attention to those trees. Pay attention to your home and structures around and where that sun's going to fall. Because there's about a 13% variance from the summer solstice to the winter solstice on where that the sun physically is in the sky.
Exactly. And this is what I tell people. Set your smartphone. Everybody has a smartphone these days. Set your smartphone for December 21st, March 21st, June 21st, and September 21st at noon to go out and see where the sun is at in the sky. And so you have one coming up in 3 weeks. You know, it'll be December 21st in 3 weeks. Go out and see where the sun is at. And you're going to notice that it's in the southern sky, really low on the horizon. And when you say 13%, 13% may not seem like a lot, but when you're out there on June 21st and the sun is pretty much directly overhead, it's a huge difference. And that will inform you on a lot of things, on where to plant your fruit trees, on where to plant your garden, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and the shadow cast is the key there. So go to the same spot every single time and, you know, maybe bring someone else with you or a way to mark your shadow. Stand in the same spot and you'll see the big difference on where the shadow cast is. And
exactly.
You can then calculate that to larger trees around or other buildings and get an idea of, wow, this is pretty significant, because a lot of vegetables and you know, things in the garden depend on certain amount of daylight hours.
Right.
If we plant them where they don't get the shade, they never, you know, they never develop to the maturity that they have the potential to.
Exactly. Placing your garden in the wrong place in your yard could spell disaster or success. And that's one of the things you have to decipher. And we're going to talk about that a little more as well. And what we're really talking about is the sunlight at this point, and solar aspect. And solar aspect is where the sun's coming from. And the easiest way to decipher this, decipher a solar aspect for your yard or for a place in your yard, is go stand up against a wall. Pick a wall in your backyard and go stand up against it and figure out what direction you're looking. So a western exposure or a western solar aspect gets sun from noon until sundown. And if my back was against the wall, I would be looking west. That is a western exposure. That is your hottest place in your yard. And then if you add gravel, most people have gravel in their yard. If you add gravel or block walls, that makes it even hotter. We'll talk about mitigating that in a little while. An eastern exposure gets sun from sun up until noon. So if my back is against the wall, I'm looking east. That's actually the best place to put your garden. If you have an eastern exposure, again, your back's against a wall and you're looking east, it gets sun from sun up until noon. That is the most effective place to grow a garden. Southern aspect is, my back is against the wall and I'm looking south. That gets sun all day. That's a great place to garden. You're just going to have to figure out most likely how to shade your garden in the afternoon, parts of it in the afternoon. And then a northern exposure is on a north side of a structure, north side of a wall. And that is the hardest place next to the western exposure. So the western exposure gets too much sun. A northern exposure doesn't get nearly enough. So you have to, you kind of have to figure out the directions. And what we're looking at here are called microclimates. Microclimates are spaces in your yard that are warmer or cooler. Hey, Romy, have you ever been out hiking and you kind of go down into a ravine? And it gets 10 degrees cooler, right? Those are different microclimates, and that's what you're looking for in your yard, is finding the cooler spaces and the warmer spaces. Because when it comes to fruit trees, that's one of the things I know the most. When it comes to fruit trees, like a fig and a citrus is going to go do well in a warmer microclimate. A peach and an apple is going to do better in a cooler microclimate. So figuring out throughout the year, where are the cooler spaces and where are the warmer spaces? That's really your biggest challenge in your yard.
We're talking with Farmer Greg of the urbanfarm.org here at Rosie on the House. We can do a lot of things, but we can't stop the clock. So we'll be right back to pick up this conversation on creating your own food forest right here in Arizona.